Hello, I'm Alberto Salvato. Welcome to Crime Time, a Virginia criminal law podcast. I'm here with Anna Dvorak, Anthony Norse, and Ann Thayer. Enjoy the show.
So here it is, legal disclaimer, because we are lawyers and we've got to write one. So if you are listening to this podcast, thank you. We sincerely hope you are listening to this podcast for its entertainment value and not with the intention of acquiring legal advice for any individual case or situation. I mean, come on, you wouldn't take advice from someone you have never met or spoken to directly, right? If you were bleeding profusely, you wouldn't listen to a podcast in hopes of a bandage somehow materializing over the internet and onto your 3D printer. Seeking actual legal advice can be just as important as a tourniquet. The hosts of this podcast are in no way intending to create an attorney-client relationship with any listener. Sorry, we are sure you all are great people, but we cannot stress enough how little we know of you and your case. And rather than risk an awkward moment, let us just remember we have never met. Nothing on this platform should be taken as legal advice for any individual case or situation. We are just a group of friends with differing opinions and viewpoints, which we will try to explore through discussions of current events, law changes, and whatever else floats our fancy.
In this episode, I swear, officer, my kids are fine. We talk about times where parents of all shapes and sizes leave their children for just a moment, or maybe for a couple hours, while they go and do something. It might be running into a store. It might be leaving your kids at the park. Maybe leaving at the house while you're going grocery shopping. Sometimes, though, when we leave our children in the car, somebody sees it. They see the children by themselves, and the police are called. And in this episode, we'll discuss what happens when the police are called and what kind of charges can happen when you leave your children by themselves. So first, Alberto is going to tell a personal story about wandering around in the mall as a child. Apparently, there were no abuse and neglect laws in Maryland.
Well, here's the
child.
Here's what's funny. And I think most of us remember the free-range children that occurred maybe now about 5 to 10 years ago. Well, my wife and I, we were actually driving down the streets at Silver Spring, and we were at a light and happened to look over and see these two very young kids, one with a boy, the other one with a girl. And they were walking in a very busy street. And the first thought that came to my mind was, holy crap, what are these kids doing out there? And as soon as I said that, a police officer came over and started talking to them. I was like, where are you guys going? And the kid said, I'm allowed to be here. And then we drove away. And later on the news, there was this big hoopla about the free-range kids. Apparently, the parents were like, they're able to go around. I remember my wife and I were thinking about it. And we're like, yeah, it was strange when we saw it. But then I went back and started thinking about my history. And Anna brought it up. But, you know, growing up, both my parents were working. My father was doing insurance before he became an attorney. My mom was selling shoes at Woody's. And she worked every day. So over the summer, we didn't have daycare. We would actually go to work with my mom, and we would be out in the mall, and the security guards and all that knew us, and they kind of watched us throughout the day in the mall. It was a big mall, Lake Forest Mall. And we would go through all the stores. Most of the employees at the stores knew us. My brother and I were really well-behaved kids, and it wasn't a problem. And I'm thinking now, it's like, wow, if that happened today, I'm pretty sure there would be some issues to it. So I guess negligence of a child or neglect of a child has changed and evolved over the years. I mean, let's you know, in the 1800s, the kids were...
As soon as they could walk, they were working, right?
Yeah, they were working, yeah.
Well, the real hard thing about what child neglect is actually really hard to pin down. They're hard cases. You know, it's easy to say when you see a child with bruises, well, that's abuse, right? It's an easy call. But when it comes to neglect, when we're really talking about situations where you leave kids alone, where kids are learning autonomy. I know when I was 9, I biked pretty much all over Alexandria. If I know my grandma's house, I biked several miles over there. I was like 9 years old. I was not a particularly big person, you know, and we didn't even wear helmets back then, which is all like mandatory now. But we, you know, I was pretty much left to my own devices. We didn't have cell phones. I got to my grandma's house. Maybe I called, maybe I didn't. But there was sort of that sense of freedom we had. And what's really hard is it's a moving target, and everybody thinks, okay, well, I can leave my baby strapped into the car seat when I run into 7-Eleven and get a coffee, right? My car's locked. Nothing's going to happen. I'm there. How many stories, news stories, have we all read where a parent has been charged with leaving a baby or a child in a car for only a few minutes while they run into the store to grab something because they didn't want to carry the bucket car seat or drag a screaming six-year-old around like a store? They just wanted to get in and get out. They had like just had to get a couple things, and somebody calls and the police are there, and they determine whether or not to charge the person or to just give them a lecture. And in my experience, in my 20 years of practice, most of the time at the beginning of my practice, there was mostly felonies. People were charged with child neglect for leaving their child in a car while they went into grocery shop, or child neglect if they left their children at home alone while they went to work. So there's a sliding scale. Like, how do you determine whether they've actually committed a crime or not? I like to tell my clients, you know, certainly after the fact, but you know, if we go forward, is that you kind of have to believe that the world out there, regardless, is going to be as strict as possible. Don't leave your baby in the car. Carry the baby in your dry cleaning and your 12 grocery bag, because there's always some nosy neighbor out there who's going to call the authorities on you.
Well, and it's not always a parent. So the statute for child abuse and neglect to charge you criminally is any parent, guardian, or somebody that's responsible for the kid. So I've had cases where maybe there was a babysitter, or maybe there's multiple adults in the house, a parent, or maybe you have a roommate, you ran out to the store thinking, oh, my kid's sleeping. If they wake up, the roommate will take care. I think that was the case I had, but they didn't tell the roommate they were leaving. Roommate had no idea. And, you know, things end up getting charged. You have to know and be responsible to be handling the child. So sometimes it's not even something, I don't think there's ever really an intent to like have kids harmed or put them in any kind of danger, but there's situations and decisions that are made for whatever reasons that can lead to other people being charged. And that's for the felony child abuse and neglect. And then we also have misdemeanor cases where it could be contributing. And it has to be contributing to the delinquency of a minor or rendering them in need of services. So if you're putting a kid out and about that is at risk, like they might need CPS involved, or they might need other family services to figure out what's going on in that family. And that statute is any person that's 18 years of age or older. So it's not even specific to somebody that's responsible for the kid, right? So it opens up possibilities for all of those people too.
True.
And I think it's
that, and you only have true.
Well, that is the law.
Infinitely more than what Tony said. So
Tony's on mute.
True.
It's hard to prosecute neglect cases because many jurors, especially in cases where, let's say, you've locked your doors, you're taking a nap, you put your 2-year-old or something in a crib, right? So the baby's in a crib, all the doors are locked, you take a nap thinking this is fine. There are cases where a 2-year-old climbs out of a crib, literally unlocks all the deadbolts, figures it all out, and walks out of the house.
I just saw that on a TikTok. A UPS driver was delivering packages and goes to get in his van, and there's a little baby right by his tire on the front right side of the tire. And he picks up the baby, the garage is open, and the door, like once you go through the garage, you know, the door to the house is open. He's like, hello, hello. And the mom comes there and it's like, mom looks like she's on something or maybe something's happening. But he's like, your baby was like out in the street. And somehow the toddler had gotten all the way out. And he had like a video of like the whole thing. So that stuff does happen. I don't know how the baby got out there or why or what happened, but he was able, luckily he saw the baby. He could have ran over the kid.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, that's an interesting case because let's say you did all the precautions and the baby still got out. I mean, the toddler got out, right? Are you guilty of neglect? Because you've done all those things. Is this just bad luck? Is this just an accident? And is it a horrible accident, right? Luckily, that child was not run over.
Well, it has to be willful or one, right? I mean, it's a purpose.
It has to be, for the felony, it has to be a willful, wanton act or omission. But for the contrib,
it could be also reckless, not willful.
It has to be like so reckless as to endanger.
So there's two felonies. One is definitely the one where you act intentionally to do it, or you omit to act, even though, like, say the kid is hurt and you refuse to give them aid. I remember reading a case where the child was burned, badly burned, and the parent just put Vaseline on the burn, which actually makes it worse, and never took the child. So that's a class 4 felony, whereas the other one's a class 6.
Right. So the class 6 is a showing of your conduct is so, the willful act or, it's still a willful act or omission. So it's a willful omission. In that case, she locked all the doors, right? Let's say that not necessarily Ann's case, but in a case of where all the doors are locked.
Well, that wasn't my case. I saw it on a TikTok.
Right. But like I've had cases where like the child has been able to unlock things. If such child was so gross, wanton, and culpable as to show a reckless disregard for human life, those are the felonies. But the misdemeanor, it's different. And I'm trying to pull that up really quickly. It's talking about rendering the child in need of supervision or services, the way Anne was talking about. Well, that's a much more sliding scale for the misdemeanor, sort of like what do you mean by this type of creating a need for supervision? Well, the child needed supervision at that moment, but you yourself didn't do it because you did all the things to keep the child inside and somehow the child got out. If you were to take that case to trial, that would be your defense. But the bottom line is when children get out or get in danger or these things happen, you should not be surprised that you could be charged with either neglect of your child, either through the felony statute or through the misdemeanor contributing statute.
Very well put. I should have said true.
True. Tony, I'm not allowed to ask you questions, but I want to ask you what you think of Alberto's responses to Anne and me.
Excellent.
True.
True.
Now, Alberto, So my oldest son, who just got his license now, so this is 16 years ago, when he was just learning how to crawl, we had our front door open with a screen door closed. So it was a glass screen door you could see outside. And my wife and I were downstairs. And I mean, we were watching our kids. Don't get me wrong. We did everything that we could. We were so afraid. We had all those cushions, the noodles, the swimming noodles on every edge, corner of any table that could possibly harm our children. And we're just having our cup of coffee. And all of a sudden, my wife looks at me and she says, "Hey, where's Matthew?" And I'm like, "He's down here." And I go running around the house. I cannot find him anywhere. Can't find him at all. We looked every corner of that first floor. And I realized that the door was open. The screen door still shut, but the door was open. Now, Matthew was just beginning to crawl. He can cruise, which means that's when a kid can actually stand up and start like pulling himself up on tables. But he's not walking yet, but he's pulling around. So I'm like, "Oh my God, he must have stood up and opened the front door." So I go outside. I'm like running around the neighborhood thing out. How far could this kid have possibly gone?
He's the fastest crawling baby. Yeah.
And I was like, "Well, he's a Salvado, so he does excel. He's really quick." But you know, but finally I come inside and Jean's holding the baby. I was like, What are you doing?" And she goes, "Oh, he just crawled upstairs." Had never gone upstairs in his entire life, and he managed to crawl all the way up a flight of stairs. And I started thinking to myself, I was like, "Wait, it would have been bad. It would have been really bad if the kid got out. Would I have been negligent if the child crawled up the stairs and I wasn't ready for that? And he fell down, you know, something like that. What would you think?" I'm sure some parent would be like, "Oh, you know, that you should have been watching your kid," which probably is true. But still, kids go around the corner and they do things like that. You know, maybe they stand up and knock down a cup of coffee that was on the table. You don't expect that to happen. So it's I don't know why I told the story, but I thought it was kind of, it took a dark turn after I started really thinking about it. Really? And I'm thinking I should call CPS now. And really?
Well, speaking of that, so that's the other thing. Not only do you deal with these criminal punishments or charges, CPS can get involved on these too. Yeah. Like anytime, you know, and then you could have two running cases going, the civil case and a criminal case. Both with CPS trying to make a finding of abuse and neglect in the civil realm, and sometimes that it can include a protective order for abuse and neglect or what other conditions or safety plans they want to put in place. And that's separate from the criminal stuff that you're dealing with as well.
Absolutely.
Sometimes worse.
I know sometimes it feels...
Did you just say true again?
No.
True. I'm going to hurt you.
I don't know what's gotten into me today.
So. I was going to say, sometimes it feels, I think...
False. That's going to be my response to that.
Dare. But you have to say
excellent.
That's too long of a word, Tony. I mean, you're getting some syllables on that.
Why you always got to show off, Tony?
I think one of the hard things is people, you know, when you're parents and you're trying to get everything done and you're trying to, you know, run to the store, like, how do you protect yourself? You know, well, first, you got to really understand, especially when you have kids of a certain age, like small children, you're just going to have to inconvenience yourself and bring them into the store with you or find another way. Because invariably, there's going to be somebody who's going to call the police or make a judgment call about you.
Or break in the window if it's like a really cold or really hot day. Like they do it for animals, they'll do it for children. And your kid, I mean, they may be gone by the time you come out or they've taken the kid to safety and you got a police officer waiting to see whose car it is.
Yeah. I mean, and people don't know how long you've left your kid there. It could be 5 minutes. It could have been 2 hours. And, they make a call.
Sorry mentality. Yeah.
Right. Yep. And people feel much more comfortable calling about children. So what is the age? I mean, so
I don't know. They got no problem calling about animals too.
Yeah. Well, people got right. But I mean, like when it's small, when a small yeah. children are helpless or in a car seat, they're going to call. There is an age of child that's old enough to stay home by themselves. And again, this age isn't in the statutes. It's in sort of recommendations made by our CPS, at least in Northern Virginia. I understand that the CPSs have all agreed that 9 years old, you can stay home for 2 hours, but they want nine. You can be home by yourself.
It also depends on the kind of 9 year old you are. Like, there's different, like, it's like anything in life. Just because of your age doesn't make it that you can be okay. It's the same as like a DUI. The number is the number, but some people at a 0.08 are fine, and some people are more wasted than someone twice the legal limit, right? So it's the same thing when it comes to kids' ages. Some are more mentally prepared, some are more practical, like if something were to happen, or they understand how to call 911, or some of them are just going to sit there on video games and won't even realize you've been gone for the 2 hours, you know?
Exactly.
Or eat all the snacks in the cupboard because you're not there to like monitor it.
And that's actually the standard that's in the statute, in the CPS statutes, is the age and maturity of the child. And there are 6-year-olds that are more mature than some 9-year-olds and some 15-year-olds and vice versa. And they've come up with number of 9, but they also tell people, like, you know your kids. If your 9-year-old is going to try to turn on the stove and light everything on fire, you can't leave that 9-year-old by themselves. You also, just because you can leave the 9-year-old home alone does not mean the 9-year-old can babysit the 2- and 3-year-old. That is not what that means. So there's ages where children can start babysitting. I think 12 is when you can take the Red Cross class. Kids can pretty much start babysitting then. But 9-year-old is too young. And we do have cases where parents are gone to work and they leave the 9-year-old watching a 2- and 3-year-old. I mean, I definitely have had cases where, you know, I've had in the mitigation history for some of my clients where they said, my dad used to go to work and he would lock us in a closet while he was gone. And we were like 5, 6, and 4. Like, that is horrible, but he didn't have a babysitter and he had to work and had to pay the rent. And that's what happened. And that's not good. So what I can tell people is children are wonderful, but they're a huge responsibility. And while I think sometimes people blow things out of proportion, and I think 9-year-olds should be able to go up to the park with other 9-year-olds and play, and they don't need their parents to watch them every second, I think that you've got to understand that society is not as forgiving. And they love judging parents. That's why there's all the baby blogs and all the parenting
society
blogs.
Society loves judging everything.
So
who does?
Society.
Society loves judging everything. So hold on, you said something besides true. I don't know what to do with that.
Who does?
No, I was actually going to wait. I was going to say true to that, but I my timing was off, or else I would have been right there.
But you know, gone are the days when Alberto and his brother could wander the mall being watched by the friendly security guards and the man handing out candy in the white van. But frankly, actually, the
reason...
What
are you talking about?
I don't know how it went from me hanging out at a mall to hanging out with some guy in a white van.
Look, I don't know. You know why free ranging stopped in the 80s, right? Adam Walsh, like...
There's no doubt about that, yeah.
The reason free-ranging stopped was the pedophile, the boogeyman, the guy who was going to kidnap children. That's why it stopped.
I think we went to the mall till we were teenagers. And even then, the police always did security details at the mall. And my dad, like, they knew us.
So,
we're getting away with anything.
I'm sure there might have been a phone call made.
There.
No, we didn't go to the... We used to, when we were kids, I don't know if you guys had this, we had these blue star houses. So it was supposed to be a safe house if you got lost or your parents weren't home, to go to the house with a blue star.
Doesn't seem like anybody could make that up. I mean,
it was like they had like a sign in your window. Well, one of the people who had that sign was one of my soccer coaches when I was a kid. And that soccer coach ended up being a pedophile. And he molested like half of the kids on our soccer team. So again, the blue star thing went away too. You know, the free ranging of children, you can do it, but there are risks, and you could be, depending on the age of your child, you could be subjecting yourself to being charged with a crime. True.
Oh, damn it. I was just about to say it.
Well, again, this is just a topic that when we think of things that happen sometimes, and as kids are going back to school and, you know, things are going down with moms are having to run errands and, you know, maybe not having the older kids there to help out, or, you know, these things might happen, right? And so it's just something for people to think about. it's just that one split second or 1 minute of time or thinking that you have in your head to say, okay, I'm just going to go do this. And then maybe you, in the story, you get distracted, or there's a longer line than you thought, or whatever is going down. And the next thing you know, you're getting charged with something and you're having to go through all these evaluations with CPS and the court, and your attorney's telling you to do things all to try to keep your record clean or keep you out of jail or keep your kids.
True. So you're absolutely right.
Reminds me of that movie Cutting Edge when he's like, Topic. Or Topic. She's like,
Topic. Yeah, or Topic. She said that. Topic.
All right. Does anyone else movie. Have anything? Yeah, it's a good movie.
So I know we've been talking about parents that are doing things that they need to do, like going to work or running into the store. But I think there's also the cross-section of substance abuse and the neglect of children, either the kids getting into substances that you leave at the house, or the parents being so intoxicated that they can't care for the kids or even know what they're doing to protect the kids. And I think that is a separate problem from having to run into the store or having to run into work or whatever the parents have to do.
That's a really good point, John, because there's a lot of that happens too.
Yes.
And it's on the rise, I think.
We're definitely seeing that with, you know, the definitely opioid crisis and some of the other things is that we are seeing.
It happens a lot with marijuana too, or the gummies, like the kids find the gummies and ooh. They're like, ooh, gummy bears.
Yeah, it looks like candy.
Yes.
I mean, if kids were eating Tide, they could eat gummy bears.
Yeah, the Tide Pods.
That wasn't kids. That was grown college.
Okay.
Like, wasn't that college students that started that? I thought it was. Maybe it was high school.
College students do a lot of things that, you know,
We should, you know, we shouldn't.
Oh, one other thing we didn't talk about was if you're out and you commit a crime like shoplifting or something like that, and you've got a kid with you, or you're using the baby carriage or the stroller or the diaper bag or whatever the case is to hide items and things of that nature. You're also rendering that kid either delinquent if they're old enough and assisting you, or putting them in need of services because you could be getting arrested and then they got to call someone to get the kids and, you know, that sort of thing. And they charge that a lot when you're with other people. And for some of you that are in high school, that's a big deal for you too, because you might be 18 and your friends might be 17. And guess what? Your cases are going to be handled differently. They go through different courts, different processes. And even though you all might be in the eighth grade or the seventh grade or however, whichever grade you're in, you can, your
case. That's an old eighth grader of eighth grade, 18
year old. Eighth grade?
Yes.
Oh, I didn't mean eighth grade. Sorry. I meant seniors or juniors. Like, you know yes. what I mean? Aren't? Yeah.
Yes.
So, sorry. I didn't mean eighth grade. The bottom line is that you all could be heading off to college in the fall coming up. And yet because of your birth date, even though you're both seniors, one landing themselves in adult court and one's going to juvenile court, or maybe getting diverted from court because they are a juvenile. So it's different things that happen, and you could get the shoplifting charge and the contributing because that person is underage. So it's just extra stuff that they're in two different courts a lot of times too. So you got to have two different court dates, and sometimes you can get them consolidated, but it's just something to think about.
And those are important distinctions. But I think that in those, at least the situations that both Tony and Anne have described, it's more likely that you be aware that you're going to be charged with something. And you may not know that you're also going to be charged with contributing, but you're knowing that you're doing something wrong. In the examples from before, there are parents using a judgment call. I'm using my best judgment to say the kid's going to be fine. And this isn't a crime that I'm committing. I'm just running this errand. I'm just doing this thing. My 9-year-old's going to be fine staying at home. He could be up at the park with his friends. It's okay. And those are the fuzzy areas that we see charged. They're absolutely right that these same charges are used in intentional crimes like petty larceny, like DUIs, like things like that. But
these are just the two off the top of my head.
But it's more predictable that I'm going to be charged with a crime. You're just going to be an extra crime if there's a kid involved. Most of these cases, the neglect cases we see, is generally people trying to either make ends meet and figure out childcare, or just wanting to have that 5 minutes to go do something. And it just takes longer than they think.
If I can interrupt. Also, a lot of times it happens when the parent changes their routine ever so slightly. So, you know, they're used to going straight to work, but instead they have their child and they're supposed to drop that child off at daycare, and something that they don't often do. And they end up going straight to work. And next thing you know, the child is left in the car. So, I mean, routine, we're creatures of habit. So oftentimes we're not in the morning. God knows I'm out of it half the time until I actually get on the road and start.
Half the time.
So what I'm trying to say is when I wake up in the morning, I'm usually at a 0.22 anyway. So it's.
No, that's my waking up BAC.
That's my waking up BAC. No, I meant I'm wearing a tutu. But my point is when you have a routine and you break from that routine, you know, it just happens. You know, sometimes it's a mistake. And, you know, right. Unfortunately, I've seen those cases in court. I've seen people being sentenced. I've seen devastated fathers and mothers knowing that they're going to have to live for the rest of their lives because their child got hurt or worse, died in a car because they made a mistake. And it's not like they weren't loving parents. It's just a break in the routine.
And it's
there's no punishment that you can give them that's going to be what they're doing to themselves in terms of beating themselves up for either. You know,
and it's those cases that Alberto's talking about and Anne's talking about that drive people to call when you're just running into the store. It's those cases that stick in people's minds or when children are left alone, because the fear is something horrible could happen, as it does, not all the time, but it does enough that, you know, it's a reality. And as Alberto said, most of the parents who lose children in that way, they weren't intentionally trying to do anything. Sure. I mean, and they are devastated.
This is a separate situation from the child abuse cases that we've talked about previously, where maybe not in every case that you've purposely hurt a child, but in the cases like Anna mentioned at the very beginning, where you're purposely harming a child or you're punishing a child past where discipline should be.
You guys remember the latchkey kid? I mean, that was in the 80s. We were all latchkey kids.
Yeah.
You know?
I came
from the, brought me home from the hospital already having kids. I might have been born with one.
I was going to say, maybe you weren't like really your parents' kids, but you and your brother and dad look too much alike.
Yeah, I was about to say. The family resemblance is a bit
strong. It wasn't a key, it was a tag. It was like, oh, my dad's going to kill me.
But seriously, you protect yourself and your family.
We don't have to leave that in.
I don't mind. Listen, people know I'm a...
He'll laugh. Your dad has a sense of humor.
Oh, he's got a great sense of humor. Love you, Dad.
I didn't mean it.
Your dad has a great sense of humor, and he doesn't listen to this podcast.
Actually, you're probably right.
He doesn't listen?
True. Listen, if I can get my dad to turn on a computer, I'd be very proud.
Does he have a phone? He can listen to it from his phone.
You know, yeah, he could, but, you know.
Alberto, have you not told him we have a podcast?
I haven't told him I'm a lawyer yet.
You used to work for him. We know that's bullshit.
He thought it was a paralegal.
That kid's been practicing law without a license this whole time.
I didn't want to go to court. I just never told him I passed the bar. I was like, Dad, I got it over here. I'll do the consults. Don't worry about it. That joke fell flat. I can see the look on my friends' faces.
You've talked too much about working with your dad in the past for that to fly right now. Yeah,
but I knew I could because he doesn't listen.
Maybe you should fix that. You should let him listen to it.
No,
all you gotta do is download the app and tell him, here, go to town.
I tell people they don't even have to download an app. They could just do a Google search, and there's many different platforms to get on here. But a lot of people are listening to it. I walk down the road, and the people who aren't trying to hit me with their cars because I'm running. They're like, hey, I recognize that guy's voice as I'm yelling, get out of my way. We're getting more and more listeners.
Well, I think we've all determined that we've all been probably neglected as children and we turned out fine. So
we weren't neglected. There were too many of us. Someone either had the ones that could actually take care of each other or the ones that would go tattle everything.
Which one were you?
I was one of the ones taking care of everyone.
And MK,
brothers were like, she was too little. My brothers were the ones tattletaling. Anne sat on the phone the whole time she was babysitting us.
That's just wrong.
It was true. We only had the one phone with like the really long cord, and it was in the kitchen. It's the only place you could talk.
Man.
Well, my final point, if we're doing final points yet.
Yes, we are.
Okay. I think the neglect of children is an ever-changing definition. Does that make sense? It's always, in 20 years from now, we don't know what it's going to be.
It'll be neglect of children for letting them be on their screens as long as some parents.
Or by then everything will be virtual reality anyway. They're going to be staying at home doing everything.
You know, then it'll be neglect that you haven't gotten your kid that latest iPhone.
Probably. You know, it's like, oh, he can't meet the standards at school because school is now using the iPhone 28. You know, for those who use iPhones, we forgive them anyway.
There's not an iPhone 28.
Well, I know. Cool. In 20 years, there will be one.
He said in 20 years.
Ah, true. So anyway, but that's my final words. Who knows where it's going to go? And for the most part, I mean, the laws are there to protect children, which we all want. But there is an extreme that I think, you know, gets crossed sometimes by people.
It's just as your guys' favorite word, an unintended consequence of trying to protect kids is that sometimes a good parent can find themselves in a legal system that they shouldn't have necessarily had to be in.
Right. And there's overzealous neighbors, police officers, and others that get fired up. And it's our jobs to do our best to defend our clients who find themselves in that particular situation.
It's the truth.
Excellent. Thanks for joining us on Crime Time. Please join us again for our next episode.
If you enjoy our podcast, Crime Time, with Virginia Defense Attorneys, be sure to share our podcast with someone that you know. You can find our podcast on most of the major platforms like Spotify, Google, and Apple, as well as some of the smaller podcast platforms. We also post on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and LinkedIn, so you can find our episodes there every week on Tuesday at 9 a.m. If you want to leave us a review or a comment and tell us what topics you'd like to hear about, we always welcome feedback, and we're always looking for new ideas and guests to bring onto our show. We hope you keep listening, and thanks for being a supporter of our podcast.